Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from April the 6th, 2022. Had a pretty active week this week, so we'll go ahead and dive right in to the major index overview as well as the Dolly asset allocation overview. Taking a look at the chart of the S&P 500 and really the indices here first, we're going to see positive performance out of the U.S. dollar here, but pretty much everything else was in negative territory. We saw the S&P shed about 2.3% over the past week. So when we come and take a look at that chart of the S&P 500, this is that 20 points per box chart for SPX. We've seen it reverse down with action this week, testing support there at 45.20. Overall, we still see it maintaining a buy signal, though. From here, I move to 4,500, would move it to a sell signal for the first time since returning to a buy signal last month when it broke the triple top here at 4,300. From the index indicator perspective, we did see a pretty active week within the indicators, but most of that was from the 10-week as well as 30-week indicators. The 10-week for the NYSE continued lower as it fell down to the 54% level here, suggesting that still over half of the stocks within the NYSE are trading above their 50-day moving average. Additionally, from more of a global perspective, when we looked there, we saw the positive trend for world equities, that symbol being PTWR or WORLD, reverse back into X's following last night's action there at 42% for the first time since reversing down in August of last year. So even globally, we're seeing stocks move back into positive trends, which is a nice sign to see from the equity perspective. On Dolly, not too much change as we saw. We still see commodities and domestic equities maintaining the leadership there. We did see international equities pick up 9 signals over the past week, but otherwise we've seen the rankings remain fairly stable. Energy and basic materials continue to gain within the U.S. And then otherwise the rankings this week have remained fairly stable. So for more on asset classes, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Steve.
Let's move on into some of the score indicators that we often cover as we break into April. Let's take a look at the money market percentile rank drifts back higher. We were down below 50%. We moved back above 50% this week. Part of the issues, we still have this paradigm where asset classes are moving up above or slipping below the score 250. This week, we're slipping back down, picking up a greater majority. A few more clicks of asset classes that are scoring below the score 250. This seems to be a, you know, kind of a flu that we can't shake, but we hope for the best. And the core, the percentile rank, is moving, holding steady at 93, near 94th percentile against all asset classes around the world. In a sense, it's kind of a defensive move. You know, the primary core of the U.S. equity market is the place to be. And it's responding accordingly. So we have a very good anchor there at near the 94th percentile. The bullish percent remains steady over the week. We're still at the same place we were last week. The actual chart is showing some down ticks, but the boxes on the chart have not moved. So we're holding a stable week over the week basis. When we take a look at the asset classes that score above the 4-score area, we're moving down from 12 to 10. Most of the groups in the group lineup are similar to what we've seen all year. The core of the market is slipped back below the score of 4. Latin America still remains number one in score direction, and MLPs hold the only score above the 5-score area. So similar to last week. I wanted to reflect on the great disparity we see in various asset class comparisons. Let's take, for example, the non-U.S., where the low score versus the high score is a massive difference in outcome and in experience by the investor here comparing China and Latin America. The black line is the non-U.S. average, where also many non-U.S. indexes, and whether they're emerging market or developed, also are down there. So there's a great disparity between what you're working with and what your experience is. And you want to keep in mind that we want to stick with leadership. And we also want to keep in mind that leadership can change. So that's part of that mantra of why this time frame in the market is important to follow, in very close quarters, weekly, monthly, whatnot. As we look at other disparities, let's go back to the value growth paradigm. We still see the average value fund over the score of the average growth fund by some margin. But now we're going to point out that that growth northerly movement in score still there. We see, you know, pretty good moves in the growth funds. And for the first time, I think that we're seeing a little bit of a leaning down in the value, so that the scores of the growth and value are actually closer together than they've been for weeks, simply because the value score is edging down a little bit. So let's keep that in mind, and we'll continue to look at this paradigm, because this paradigm will be important to your asset allocation choices. As we take a look at the risk-reward slope of the asset classes, we find a minor downtick over the week. The calculation is still positive, been positive all year. A little bit of a backstep, you know, as we move into April. And that leaves us with really taking a look at the moving averages. So 80% of all equity funds have a 50-day and 200-day moving average comparison that is negative. However, the core of the market, the slope of their 200-day moving average is still positive, and most of those indices are actually trading above that 200-day, which is an important observational point that we'll continue to monitor. So we still have some good participation in score by the core and moving average of the core, but more importantly, in the percentile ranking, still ranking at the 93rd percentile against all asset classes around the world. So that's kind of that anchor of what you're doing. If we consider all United States funds, this means any equity fund, including sectors, including value and growth, and including all fixed income, we find that those scores average out to 3.01. That's where we are right now, kind of at that, you know, middle, you know, I'd say lower area of acceptability for someone that just buys into everything and equates it together. Keep in mind that this score, the all United States score, rarely goes below the score 250. And so we'll continue to monitor this now that it's possible that the score might go below the score of 3. You know, keep an eye on this total allocation. But for now, I think we're at the minimum level of acceptability. And so for more on asset classes and styles in the United States, let's move over to Joseph.
Thanks a lot, Steve. And, you know, over the last week, we haven't seen too many changes with regards to the overall size and style range. As David mentioned earlier, we did see large cap growth move up a little bit, small cap growth lose a signal or two. They're tied at 101 now in terms of their signal count, but we still see a pretty big disparity between growth and value on the Dolly rankings. And as Steve mentioned earlier on the asset class group scores page, we see that as well here. Mid-cap value, large cap value, small value there at the top of the rankings, followed by, you know, you see U.S. small growth, mid growth, micro caps at the bottom there. Large cap growth did get a bit of a bump last week. A lot of those large mid cap growth names were the leaders of the rally that we saw towards the end of March going into April till pretty much yesterday. This is a static allocation, essentially, of an equal weighted basket of the top five stocks in the S&P 500. So if you're looking at Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google in there, equally weighted. This is just essentially supposed to be an index of all of those five funds. We do see a pretty sharp rally here at the middle or the Ides of March. March 16th there, that bottom was put in, or that reversal up. We saw it reverse all the way back up to an area of resistance where these, you know, these mega cap names have a little bit struggled when you put them all together there at the top. We also see the Robotta result reading of 70% today. This was higher yesterday. So I don't think it's too surprising that we're seeing some weakness in these names given the huge move that they did have in the middle of March. Moving over to factors, we look at momentum over here on the left. We have a fund score below 2.5. We touched on last week how this was getting close to resistance there at 172. It turned out to reverse down from that level, still above the middle point of its trading band. Again, a lot of these spaces rallied quite a bit in 2 weeks, so it's not too surprising to see them give up some of the gains here. We look at quality here. Not too much change on the trend chart, but we do see it again rallying up to a close area of resistance there at 138, but not too much of a change there. Low volatility here on the left. We see a fund scoring close to 4.0. It's reached the top there at $68. Now, utilities and consumer staples, we've touched on quite a bit this year, how they've been the leaders here in this low volatility space. We Utilities themselves are starting to get a little bit extended, as is this SPLV fund we do see near the top of the trading band. So that's something to keep in mind if you are looking to purchase some low volatility funds right now. And then lastly, we see value. We see this fund score drop pretty significantly, 1.703. Although the trend chart itself is still holding intact, we still see consecutive buy signals here. And then we also see, you know, it was able to hold that support at $100. So really, it's been fairly a choppy market for value where it hasn't been able to find a clear direction, but it hasn't deteriorated too much. But we do see that fund score falling there. And with that, I'll go ahead and pass on over to John.
Thanks a lot, Joseph. So just digging into momentum a little bit deeper, it wasn't really a banner week for momentum at all, although it wasn't terrible either. We had a few days where we had some pretty large dispersion between the leaders and the laggards, but that kind of net-net worked out to be not a whole lot when we look at it from the week standpoint. So where we are with the domestic spread, things still look decent here. The spread has pulled back to a pretty logical place where it might find support. And I think we're just kind of marking time here until the market can figure out what direction it wants to go. The developed spread actually looks a little better. That looks like it could potentially break out to some new highs, which would be a very good development. And emerging continues that pullback here. And it's not looking like that's going to stabilize anytime soon. Now, moving over to the U.S. dollar, this trend has been in place for quite some time. We've broken out to new highs on the quarter point box chart. As interest rates continue to rise, we would expect this dollar trend to continue. It really does continue to be a headwind for international investing. But contrary to what we've seen in the past, it really is not putting a dent in the commodity rally here. So the dollar generally has some large implications for asset allocation, but we're seeing some of that play out a little bit differently this time, and it is a little bit different. So for more on currencies, we'll turn it over to Ian.
Great. Thank you, John. So the cryptocurrency space has continued to show some upside movement over the course of most of the past week, and then run into a little bit of difficulty over the past couple of days with some of the volatility carried over there from the risk on the domestic equity side. But if we look at the constituents of that NASDAQ crypto index, we still see all the names on a buy signal. And interesting to note, we did see a revaluation of this index and a couple new names added that we'll get into more here in just a sec. But with this, almost all the names are still in a column of X's on their default charts. All of them are on buy signals, and the same two that we're looking at before, Bitcoin and Ethereum, continue to remain in overall positive trends. And then interestingly enough, the two new names that were added, Axie Infinity and the Sandbox, are both in positive trends there as well. So without too much kind of broad changes, again, mentioned that cryptos are pulling back a little bit, might see some pullbacks on those default charts with movement on Wednesday. But we are seeing, we can take a look at the technical pictures of the two new names that were added. So Axie Infinity, ticker $AXS on the platform. It is on a buy signal, although with today's movement, it's going to drop to a sell signal there back down toward the middle of its trading band. And so it still continues to remain an overall positive trend and bouncing up a little bit at February low. Then looking at the Sandbox, ticker $SAN. This particular crypto moved down to form a spread triple bottom there at that $2.76-ish level and bounce a little bit higher. And we can see it bounce a couple other times in this decline. So it'll definitely be interesting to see if this one holds. So other than that, not too many changes that we see going on there within the cryptocurrency space. So shifting gears a little bit and moving into the domestic equity side, we can first take a look at technology. So the broader technology sector saw some upside movement over the course of the past couple of weeks, really over the last 3 weeks there of March. Bouncing out from a pretty washed out territory there with a lot of names kind of returning to buy signals, some moving back into positive trends. But we didn't see that many changes from a broader relative strength perspective or really from a score perspective. The score there dropped down closer to that 1.5 score threshold beneath 2. And it's bounced back higher, but it's had some difficulty getting back north of that 2.5 threshold. So I definitely want to make sure to note, I mean, haven't seen any relative strength changes in the Dolly sector rankings for technology. So just because we see some of those names bounce, it doesn't necessarily mean the broader sector is all steam ahead at that point.
Have seen some notable improvement from some areas, though, with some potential opportunities that this pullback over the last couple of days could look toward. Looking at that broad equal weight technology ETF, ticker RYT, saw the same return to a buy signal. And then with today's movement, you're just seeing a reversal down into a column of those at 280 on that default chart. So it could be an interesting area to look for if we do get some further return to the upside, some of that movement like we saw at the end of March. And then a couple other names, Pure Storage, PSTG is the ticker for that one. This is in the hardware space. I mean, we've seen three consecutive buy signals from this stock, pulling back from all-time highs, a pretty nice looking chart picture there, and a strong five for fiver from an attribute perspective. And then wrapping up with Palo Alto Networks. We talked about the cybersecurity space a fair amount. So Palo Alto has been one of the stronger names within that space, two consecutive buy signals and also pulling back from those all-time highs. So a few areas to look forward, but definitely given the continued long-term weakness that we see from some of the belt strength perspective for technology, want to be careful about which names you're picking there within that space. So with that, I'll go ahead and throw things on over to Joseph.
Thanks, Ian. We've had a couple of developments within healthcare and financials over the last week. Financials still ranks third in the DALI sector rankings, but we've seen a bit more deterioration on the short and intermediate term basis. If we look at the asset class group score sector rankings here, we see financials right here fell below that 3.0 average score, that acceptable threshold that we're looking towards. But we also see a pretty negative score direction here of 1.70. So we have seen quite a bit of weakness here so far this year in the financial space. We also look at the subsector financial banks here, closer to the bottom, in danger of crossing below money market with a negative score direction, almost at negative three. So banks have really been hit the hardest within the financial sector. Insurance is still in an area that looks okay. But if we look at the Spider S&P Bank ETF here, we see a fund score of 2.88, started the year off above five. That speaks to the deterioration that we've seen. We also see it on three consecutive sell signals here. Holding support at 51, and it's still in a positive trend. So, you know, DALI's focused a bit more on the longer term. We still see this fund trading in a positive trend, although you can definitely see here the weakness that we've seen so far this year. And the stock that kind of encapsulates that is JP Morgan. It's a one for fiver. It's down almost 16% so far this year. And when we look down here, we see it's traded down to a negative trend. A couple of consecutive sell signals here. Did return to a buy signal there recently, but reversed right back down. And we'll see if it can get back into a positive trend. That'll be the main key if this can get back to a positive trend that buying is returning to the picture. Now moving over to healthcare, XLV here, that broad healthcare select spider fund, still see a fund score in the mid fours. It's also trading on a buy signal here. We haven't seen too much movement over the past week though. We do see resistance here at 140, which is its all-time high. We've seen a bit of strength come to the healthcare space. A lot of it's been the mega cap, large cap names in the healthcare space have held up better than the small and mid cap growth names. But nonetheless, we're seeing it move up a little bit in the DALI rankings as it moved out of last place last week. And we'll see if it can continue to build off of that. One stock to look out for is Anthem. It's healthcare insurance. It's a four for fiver. It's actually on the trading band with the weekly bought or sold reading of 50%. It's trading on two consecutive sell signals, and it's trading at all-time highs here, which I think in this market that we're seeing right now is a good sign for any stock. But with that, I'll go ahead and pass on over to David.
Thanks, Jeff. And taking a look this week at communication services, consumer discretionary, and utilities, didn't see a whole lot of change within communication services. Fund score still remains below that two score level. And even on the chart, not much change here. It did add another box here at the $71 level. But really the big news within communication services came out of a pretty significant rally within Twitter. As many are probably aware, there was a release of Elon Musk taking a significant position within the company a bit earlier this week. And we actually saw Twitter rally pretty significantly off that level. It's now improved up to a three for fiver within their technical attribute rating system. With action this week, it's moved back into a positive trend, still maintains the buy signal that it broke here when it broke this double top here at $37. but with yesterday's action was able to move back into that positive trend. And obviously the significant movement has caused the market RS and pure RS charts to move back into a column of X's. So really the notable thing within communication services is the action within Twitter. Moving on over to consumer discretionary, taking a look at the picture of XLY. We saw XLY still maintains this good fund score, 3.56. But overall, over the past week, we did see a shed almost 3.5%. A lot of the harder hit areas were textiles, autos, and parts, and retail, as those Dorsey Wright indices we have on the site were down over 6% over the past week. Didn't change the technical picture for XLY too much when we look at the chart. Did reverse down the nose here at 186, but it also, as we noted last week, cleared above an important level of resistance there at 190, but it moved above 192. Two names to keep an eye out on. One is going to be due to the negative action in it. We've seen a lot of the home builders are within the home building space. It hit pretty hard. Lowe's has not been immune to that. It still maintains its 4 for 5 technical attribute rating. But with recent action, we did see it break this triple bottom here and continue down to the $200 level. So when we're looking at the chart, we now need to keep an eye on that 184 level. Some may look to potentially go ahead and lighten up further on the exposure. We did see a pretty significant breakdown earlier this year, but this is another notable breakdown as it takes out support that dated back to February. On the positive side, we did, well, additional negative action. We did want to point out that Dillard's DDS, with today's action now, moves into a negative trend. That'll drop it to a 4 for 5. So yet another one that we want to keep an eye on as we move forward, as it's showing some near-term signs of deterioration. On the positive side, we want to take a look at the technical picture of Royal Caribbean Cruises, symbol RCL. It maintains a 3 for 5 attribute rating and does technically sit at the bottom half of the leisure sector matrix, but has shown decent improvement as weekly and monthly momentum have flipped back positive. When we take a look at the chart, we saw a pretty significant run-up after it broke this triple top here at 71. It now trades here at 87 and moved back into a positive trend in the latter part of the month. We saw this breakout occur right about the time that we saw a lot of the travel restrictions lifted here in the U.S., so we saw some positive movement out of here. This is maybe one to keep on the watch list as it reverses down and is maybe able to give a second consecutive buy signal there at 88. But also note that it does have resistance there at 90 as well as at 98, which was the November rally high from last year. So one to keep on the watch list within the consumer discretionary space. And finally, taking a look at utilities. Utilities has been a sector that has shown some good improvement over the past week. It was, in fact, the top performing sector within the sector spider funds. It gained 1.97%. That was primarily led to the fact that we saw electric utilities show pretty decent improvement. Gas utilities have still hung in there, but we saw a lot of electric utilities names improve over the past week. XLU maintains that fund score of 4.7. Is getting a little bit overextended, as Joseph mentioned earlier. This point trading up near the top of its trading band as it made a new all-time high with yesterday's action at 76. Within the space, though, and looking at the indicators for utilities, the bullish percent returned to bull confirmed status this week as it moved above that 60% level, reaching its highest level since July of last year, and actually moving into bull confirmed status for the first time since moving to bear confirmed back in December of last year. So seeing continued increased participation to the upside by utilities names as more and more continue to give point and figure buy signals. One stock to sort of send you home with when we look within the utility space is going to be Constellation Energy Corporation, symbol CEG. It's a pretty new name as far as stocks go in terms of trading, but it does maintain a 3 for 5 or technical attribute until it trades more. It's about the highest it'll be able to get as it's able to develop these relative strength charts. But when we look at the trend chart, it has maintained a pretty significant run up through March as well as April, with yesterday's action completed its third consecutive buy signal when it broke the double top here at 60, which was an all-time high for this very new stock. So one to keep an eye on. It was the top performer within XLU. And actually, if you look under the hood of XLU, 28 out of those 29 funds within the ETF were in positive territory over the past week. And when we look further at the detail there, every one of the holdings within XLU actually outperformed the S&P 500 over the past week. So continuing to see further improvement out in the utility space. So it is a sector to keep an eye on and monitor, as well as potentially look to some of these positions if you're also looking for a yield. So with that, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Will.
All right, cool. Thanks, David. Starting with industrials here, those second worst performing sector of the 11 over the past week, but the weakness really hasn't led to any matriculation of indicator changes. So it's going to stay in equal weight territory for the broad sector. One of the strongest areas within the sector, I would say, remains industrial transports, specifically marine transport stocks and railroads have been the most resilient. One standout name that I haven't really mentioned before is Global Ship Lease, ticker GSL. It's actually a small cap foreign stock, but currently has fine attributes in its favor, well-placed in the transports nine-air sector matrix, and is pulling back closer to an area of support today. So overall, pretty constructive picture there. Another name that I would mention is Union Pacific, and I have mentioned that one before, but another actual stock within the industrial sector. It's also a strong five for fiber and testing that nearby support today and also holding. So overall, industrials equal weight, worth taking some individual positions as you have seen some weakness in other subsectors. And then over to consumer staples now. It was also steady from an indicator perspective over the past week. It's been able to maintain an equal weight recommendation, kind of a bottom tier equal weight recommendation, but nonetheless, still equal weight. It was actually the second best performing of the 11 sectors over the past week, along with the other traditionally defensive areas like utilities and real estate. Areas of strength within this sector continue to be food retailers. Specifically, there's a lot of great participation there. One is going to be Sprouts Farmers Market, five attribute, also well-placed within its sector. Actually recently returned to an RSI signal versus the market, and also consecutive buy signals, constructive chart action to go along with a good attribute reading. If you're looking towards a broader representative, your Spider Proxy Fund XLP, this actually returned to a buy signal this week with that four marking first action in the month of April. It's now testing some resistance from January and February of this year. Fund score is still over three in a positive score direction, so investors could consider holding this fund here, maybe using it as some type of technically sound low vol offset some of the other positions in your portfolio, recognizing that energy and basic material picked up a lot of volatility as well, and maybe overweights already. And then lastly, today I was going to talk about real estate. It was among the best performing sectors again this week. It's kind of 2 weeks in a row it's been in that territory. Looking at XLRE right here, it's now about 5% off its all-time chart highs from December of 21, and it really doesn't have any material resistance ahead of it until those all-time chart highs. Within the space, equity REITs are your main leaders, specifically residential REITs actually have been the king there. Those looking to tilt their real estate exposure there towards that strength, they consider that iShares residential real estate ETF, ticker REZ. Strong fund score of 4.0, it's got a positive score direction, and it's also retesting its all-time chart highs. So the weight of the evidence is definitely positive here and for some of those subsector areas within the real estate space. And that's all I'll do this week, and I'll toss it over to Jamie.
Materials remains ranked second in DALI. The fund score of the Select Spider Materials Fund, ticker XLB, remains stable at around 2.75. We've talked a couple of times about the divergence between the fund score of the broad sector fund XLV and the relative strength gains that we've seen from the sector within the DALI rankings. And we've also seen a wide performance dispersion within materials funds, which Joseph talked about last Friday in the fund score overview. And we can see here that since 2/15 or February 15th, around the time that we saw materials move into fourth and then shortly thereafter third in the DALI rankings. XLB has gained 3.9%, outperforming the benchmark. But we've seen the First Trust Materials AlphaDex Fund gain 12.2%. So over 300% more than the Select Spider Fund. So clearly a lot of dispersion, even between what would on the surface appear to be very similar funds. And you know, I think this is just a good illustration of the importance of, you know, not only knowing what you own, but also paying attention to things like fund score. You know, if we scroll up a little bit further in the piece, we can see the kind of fund score divergence here. We can see that XLB in red, you know, has kind of languished here below 3.0, while we've seen the First Trust Fund FXZ, you know, move above the 5.0 score threshold, you know, into that really strong, favorable territory. And, you know, seeing that reflected here and then also in the performance. So, you know, something not to be aware of just in materials, but also just, you know, across you know, your portfolio as you're making these allocations, just because these, you know, funds seem to be the same on the surface, cover the same sector, there really can be a material dispersion between the two, between different funds. And you can, you know, try and differentiate between those using the fund score system. As for the materials funds in particular, you know, the big difference really seems to be the subsector allocations. We can see here the FXZ, the top performing fund, really overweight to steel, which has been the best performing sub-industry over that time. Meanwhile, XLB, our broad sector representative, overweight specialty chemicals, which has been, you know, one of the weakest performers over that time. So, you know, at this point, if you're looking to add materials exposure, still seeing FXZ and some of those other funds exhibit much stronger fund scores than XLB, you know, kind of the generic S&P 500 representative. So, you know, I would look to focus exposure there, as we have seen more strength out of industrial metals than we have out of chemicals. And areas within materials like that. But again, also just a reminder that, you know, you want to be keeping track of what you own, looking at the fund scores of different funds, even within the same sector. And I think this is a good illustration of that. So moving on, not much to report within energy. Remains atop the DALI sector rankings. We see the Select Spider Fund, XLE, with a strong fund score of around 4.97, around the same level it has been. Energy actually picked up a couple of buy signals in DALI this week, more because of weakness within other areas than because of any real strengthening in energy. As we can see, it's mostly kind of just traded sideways over the last week or so. If you are looking to add exposure to the energy sector, you may want to consider Cheniere Energy, ticker LNG. We have seen oil kind of trade sideways, be range bound recently, which is something we'll talk about a bit later in commodities. But we have seen natural gas kind of pushing to new you know, near term highs. You know, so if you're looking to potentially take advantage of that, Cheniere, which is an LNG producer, five for fiver, top half of the oil sector matrix. So, you know, all positive from a relative strength perspective. We can see here, you know, return to a buy signal and has recently found support at 134. And, you know, as I mentioned, we're seeing, you know, natural gas have a bit more momentum than oil over the recent term. So potentially a way to take advantage of that. Also with just a, you know, technically strong stock in LNG. So that's all I have on energy. And I will pass it on to Ian to cover international equities.
Great. Thank you, Jamie. So the international equity space has seen a little bit more improvement across looking at the broader space over the course of the past week. As David touched on earlier, we did see the international equities asset class gain a few buy signals in DALI. Its first real notable buy signal improvement for over the past several months. So, I mean, it ticked up 9 buy signals. Still, I mean, firmly in at that third position, pretty distant, but about 70 signals away from fixed income there and fourth, and also a little bit over 70 signals away from domestic equities, which sits in second. So still firmly in that third position, but nonetheless, it is good to see some signal improvement from the international equity space in that broad asset class ranking. One area where we did see some more improvement came from the emerging market side of things. We did see the developed markets, ticker EFA, did return to a buy signal with movement 2 weeks ago, as we touched on last week. We've seen a little bit more improvement from some of the emerging markets areas, which we'll get into here in just a sec. Which did continue to tick up this broad emerging markets representative ticker EEM back up to the middle of the trading band and getting closer to potentially returning to a buy signal, which would come with current movement to 47.50. So EEM had a lot of work, a lot of distance to climb to get back to a buy signal. And it's now only two boxes away from doing so. So definitely be interested to see if that thing can continue to show improvement, see if this near-term improvement can translate over to an intermediate to longer term. Still long-term picture, still very weak with that weak 1.56 fund score. But nonetheless, we'll look for that near-term improvement to continue. In looking at the broad international country index matrix ranking, didn't see too many changes to the ranking over the course of the past week, but there were certainly some notable ones. And looking at, we do have this monthly change, is the column there on the far left, but this is actually looking at just changes since the end of March. So just less than a week of movement. We've seen three changes to the broader quartiles and on this matrix ranking. So we did see Taiwan show a little bit more deterioration and move down into the second quartile, which we designate as the hold area. So first time Taiwan has been in that area in over a year and a half. So definitely an interesting development that we're going to touch on here that more in just a sec. Brazil did see some of those signals we were touching on last week. It was pretty close. You can buy signals on a lot of charts. Well, some of those slipped over. It moved up six spots to its current ranking there at 19th, kind of firmly in that second quartile after being in the bottom half of these rankings for most of the past year. Switzerland did continue to show some deterioration and fell back into the bottom half of the rankings. But we'll hit on Taiwan and Brazil. So, Brazil was one of those areas that's continued to see a fair amount of improvement throughout the past several weeks, in addition with most other areas there in the Latin American space. And so this is shown through both the broad Brazilian representatives as well as the iShares MSCI Brazil Small Cap ETF, so ticker EWZS. This fund has shown some pretty rapid improvement after passing its test of that bullish support line back there in mid-March. Stormed higher, got into overbought territory at the beginning of this month at 1775, and now with today's move is pulling back a little bit from that overbought condition. So could be a potential opportunity there, buy on pullback opportunity. And then many of the other areas within Brazil, just be sure to keep a close eye on that overbought reading, as some of those areas are getting pretty frothy, but definitely could be some potential ideas there. And then so looking at Taiwan, that iShares MSCI Taiwan ETF, we did see now two consecutive sell signals from this broad Taiwan representative. A lot of the kind of recent weakness that we've seen from some of the semiconductor areas within the domestic side translated over to the international side too. And Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, ticker TSM on the platform, is one of the major holdings there for this broad Taiwan ETF. But it is at pretty solid support. So we see spread triple bottom formation that we see there at 60. So if that holds, it continues to move back higher. That has supported us out on two previous occasions. So we'll definitely be a place to continue to monitor for that broader strength of what otherwise has been a very strong area for the international emerging market space over the past several years, see if that can hold and we can get a little bit of a rebound there. But with that, not too much else to touch on the international front. We'll go ahead and pass things back on to Jamie.
The pain continues in the bond market. Not many other ways to say it. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, you can see they're climbing to about 2.625% today. Just for some perspective, the 10-year was trading in the 1.3, 1.4 range in late December. So we've risen almost 100% from where we were towards the end of last year, almost doubling the yield on the 10-year. Continuing to hear hawkish talk from the Fed, heard comments this week about a shrinking of the balance sheet, and also that the Fed could begin increasing rates at 50 basis point increments if needed. So no signs from the Fed that they are going to take their foot off the gas in terms of raising rates. This drawdown in bonds is, depending on how you want to measure it, there's always a little bit of subjectivity there. The largest drawdown that we have seen for, core U.S. bonds in history. No real sign of relief for fixed income investors as we're continuing to hear more hawkish talk from the Fed continuing to see the market respond with higher rates. Over the last week, We have seen the yield curve kind of make a parallel shift outward, kind of rising across the curve. We are now seeing, you know, a few inversions kind of in that 3 to 10 year range. And at this point, the 2 year and the 10 year, which is one of the most watched relationships, remains normal. The 10 year still slightly above the 2 year. But, you know, they could invert at any time, you know, very narrow spread between the two. We did discuss this in more detail on last week's podcast, as well as last Thursday's daily equity report. So if you want some more background on the yield curve inversion, you can definitely check those out. If there's one positive to take away from the action over the last week, I guess it would be that, you know, we did see the yield curve push out in a parallel fashion, so not exacerbating any inversions there. But overall, you know, continues to be a very weak fixed income market. And, you know, despite the fact that, you know, this is one of the largest, if not the largest drawdown in history, no real signs of relief for bond investors at this point. You know, so obviously we have continued to see the market at large weaken. The inverse fixed income group remains atop the fixed income rankings within the asset class group scores. You know, if you had to sum up the overall market in, you know, one quick picture, I think this does it pretty well. You know, only one other group besides the inverse group above the 3.0 score threshold, and that is the floating rate group, which tends to be relatively rate insensitive. And then we see the inflation protection group at 2.5. Its score has continued to deteriorate. We've discussed this previously, but I think it's a good time to point out again, you know, inflation expectations remain relatively high, but a lot of these inflation protection funds do have a high level of interest rate sensitivity. For example, the iShares TIPS fund currently has a duration of about 7.43 years, which is actually higher than the duration of the iShares U.S. Core Bond ETF, AGG, which tracks the U.S. Ag. Its duration sits at about 6.8. So, you know, if you're not a duration or a bond aficionado, what that means is just that the TIPS fund is actually more sensitive to interest rate movements than AGG, which is, you know, the broad U.S. core bond market. So just something to be aware of. You know, people think, oh, high inflation, let me get some inflation protection in the form of TIPS. But, you know, often high inflation begets higher rates, and a lot of these TIPS funds will see deterioration as rates rise. So that's all I have on fixed income. You know, no change in theme, just more of the same with rates moving up, continuing to weaken the fixed income market. Within commodities, not a lot has really changed over the last week. They remain atop the Dolly asset class rankings, and we see energy continuing to dominate the continuous commodities matrix. Although I believe since last week, we have seen a little bit of a change as natural gas is now in number one. And then right below energy, we see several ags and softs groups. So a pretty clear picture of where you want to be within commodities. You know, the energy, ag, softs, you know, definitely holding the right here. Taking a look at a couple of individual charts, this is oil. As I mentioned before, it has kind of been trading in a range-bound fashion over the last week or so. And don't want to make too much of this, but, you know, maybe a potential early warning sign here. We can see, you know, that it rallied up into the 130s, came back down to give two consecutive sell signals, then rallied back up to a lower high, and then has come back down, given two consecutive sell signals again. You know, potentially a bearish pattern here. Again, I don't want to make too much out of this, as, you know, the relative strength metrics all remain positive. But, you know, for short-term traders and short-term investors, you know, this action of lower rally highs followed by, you know, lower bottoms, you know, potentially a warning signal there. On the other end of the spectrum within energy, We have continued to see natural gas push higher over the last week. Now, sitting just below its 2021 highs. Potentially seeing a bit of a shift of relative strength within the energy complex. But overall, throughout the energy commodities complex, the relative strength remains strong as reflected in the commodity matrix. And along with softs and agriculture, definitely the areas that we want to be focusing on within commodities. So not many other changes to report here. So I will go ahead and pass it over to John to wrap us up.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So the major themes really remained in place this week. Not really a ton of changes in those major themes. Commodities continue to perform well. Equities continue to kind of have some tough sledding here. And really, the focus is on the problems in fixed income, really, that are across the board and causing quite a bit of damage in a lot of fixed income portfolios so far this year. We'll be back next week to talk to you about any changes that we see in the coming week.